Grace and peace to you from God, who is our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. So we've taken a little break from the story during Christmas and Advent, but we're back on track with chapter 13. And just before our break, David had become king, and he was chosen as a young man to follow King Saul. His tenure wasn't perfect, and he had made some bad decisions, but over time, the relationship between God and King David was restored. Now, when king, David envisioned building a beautiful temple for God, one that was glorious and that would hold the Ark of the Covenant. God did not allow him to do this, but tells him that his son, Solomon, will build the temple. So our story picks up this week as David nears the end of his life, and he's preparing for his successor, his son Solomon, to be king. Now, David gifts Solomon with words of wisdom as he prepares to die. Walk in obedience to God and keep his decrees and commands, his laws and his regulations. Do this so that you may prosper in all that you do and wherever you go. He continues on that if Solomon and his descendants are faithful, God has promised there would be a successor on the throne of Israel. Well, Solomon is young and he is faithful. And not long after he becomes king, God visits Solomon in a dream. Ask for whatever you want me to give you, God says. Well, Solomon is obviously moved and thankful for God's kindness to him and his father David. And he asks for a discerning heart to govern his people, distinguish right from wrong. And God is very pleased with his request because it is not self-serving. He doesn't ask for riches or a long life, but rather how he can be helpful to God's people and lead well. Not only does God grant him his request, but he also promises him wealth and honor. King Solomon makes peace with leaders of other nations and has peace on all sides of his borders. He's loved by his people. He writes poetry and music. Three books of the Bible, Proverbs, Songs of Solomon, and Ecclesiastes, are attributed to him. And King Solomon is also very wealthy and builds this beautiful temple that King David has envisioned and that God had resisted. The chapter title describes him well. The king who had it all. He had wisdom, wealth, and power. He was a musician and poet, loved by the people. Who wouldn't want his life? Who doesn't want it all? But I'll be honest, as I read this week and I became more and more uncomfortable with this chapter. I don't know if anybody else got that feeling, but I've been wrestling with it. There was a disconnect between Solomon's story and Proverbs and my understanding of Jesus and what it means to follow Jesus. And as I've struggled this week with this chapter, I've come to realize through this struggle that there is a value disconnect. The values lifted up in Solomon's story and the values of Jesus are different. Now, some of you have mentioned this struggle with different pieces of the story as we've been reading it. Our world celebrates rich people, putting them in power to do whatever they want, simply because they're rich. And as I read this scripture, it has a clear message. God will reward you with wealth if you are faithful. King Solomon is an example of how he was given it all as long as he was faithful. Just reading from 1 Kings this week, we can easily assume that Solomon is our role model. But he is not our role model, Jesus is. This perception, this teaching is all around us in many Christian circles and in our country. This interpretation is often known as prosperity gospel. You may have heard of Joel Osteen or Paula White, who is an advisor to our president, two prosperity gospel preachers. The prosperity gospel doctrine emphasizes the importance of personal empowerment, proposing that it is God's will for you to be happy and wealthy if you are faithful. And if you just try harder, if you are just more faithful, God will bless you. And if your life isn't perfect, well, then you're not good enough, not faithful enough, you are just not enough. You just need to do things differently, and wealth and health will be yours. And to take it a step further, wealth proves your goodness. Therefore, those who are rich must be good because they've been rewarded by God. And that which produces wealth must be good as well, regardless of how it is done. On the contrary, if you are not rich, and if you are poor, then you're inadequate. Then you've done something to deserve where you are. You have little value. But let me be very, very clear. We don't teach that here. That is not the message of Christ, but that message is out there. And we all struggle with this. Sometimes I admit I'll listen to podcasts of Dave Ramsey. Now, if you don't know Dave Ramsey, he's a well-known Christian financial guy with a huge following. And I listen to him on podcasts because I think his process is helpful of personal management. It helps me to discipline, and I appreciate some of his advice. But I also cringe at his theology because as he talks, his goal for people is to become rich. Now, I want to have a comfortable retirement when it's time, but I also want to be a good steward of the resources God has given us and not make decisions simply to become wealthy. One day, a woman called in who was going to school to become a social worker, but she was struggling to make ends meet. And he asked her why she would go to such a profession when it didn't pay well. Perhaps, or surely other things she could do. Many of you know that before we came to Zion that I was a social worker. And for me, it was a calling to be with people who were struggling, to walk with people who were vulnerable, and to work with them to help figure out how to get through things wherever they were. And at that time, I was at St. Alexis Medical Center on the oncology floor working with people who had cancer. Now, social work isn't a highly paid profession, but it had a sense of purpose, and we had enough. And then we came here where I was called into diaconal ministry. Now I'm called a deacon. And we are ministers of word and service, paying special attention to the cries of the world and the people on the margins. I don't do this work because of the pay scale, and many of you don't do your work either because it will make you rich early either. Now this week, Dave and I started a new book for our morning devotions. It's a book by Richard Rohr called Yes And. And Richard Rohr is a Franciscan priest in New Mexico. He founded the Center of Action and Contemplation, which takes people through a process of contemplation, of prayerful presence, and trying to understand God's call on their lives and places of need in our world to move to action, especially to make a difference with those on the margins. He's a prolific writer and a well-respected spiritual leader. In the introduction, he articulates something that I found helpful to make sense of this disconnect that I was sensing between the Old Testament values and the New Testament values. This is what he writes. I try to interpret Scripture the way that Jesus did. This is precisely what Christians should mean when we speak of interpreting the Old Testament in the light of Christ. Jesus taught us how to see, what to emphasize, and also what could be de-emphasized or even ignored. Jesus consistently ignored or even denied exclusionary, punitive, and triumphalistic texts in his own Jewish Bible in favor of passages that emphasized inclusion, mercy, and honesty. And when Christians pretend that every line in the Bible is of equal importance and inspiration, they are being very unlike Jesus. In other words, starting with the Old Testament all by itself is a bad idea. We start with Jesus, what Jesus did, who he was, what he emphasized, what he taught, his promise of presence. We have a good understanding of who Jesus is and use that to help us make sense of this Old Testament. We know more now because of Jesus than they did then, of course. If we read chapter 13 in isolation without the New Testament, we can easily get caught up in how to be more like Solomon, how to be blessed by God and live a comfortable life. And if we buy into that theology, we focus on making more money. If we lose our job, we wonder why. We wonder why people get sick and aren't healed. We wonder why there is so much struggle in life sometimes. If being faithful and believing is supposed to lead to good things, why do bad things happen? But when we read through the eyes of Christ, we can appreciate Solomon's desire to have wisdom and to be faithful to God. I know I want that. But at the same time, Jesus doesn't care about me accumulating wealth or you accumulating wealth. In fact, his teaching over and over again is to be willing to give it up, to recognize that wealth can cloud our vision and it can get in the way of doing what's most important. Jesus did not come to make our lives easy. Jesus cares more about showing love to another especially when it's not easy, of how we treat one another, of working for justice, of being in relationship with him. We gather each week to reorient ourselves and to stay grounded in the word that teaches something very... We gather each week to reorient ourselves. Our world teaches something much different than Jesus. We read the story and scripture to make sense of God's story and our place in God's world. We celebrate communion each week, reminding ourselves that God is present with us in the sacraments and in all of life. We give our time to make a difference in the lives of another through mentoring, serving at soup kitchen, visiting someone, through befrienders, and many other ways. We support one another when we are hurting or need extra care, and we celebrate joys together. As I'm reflecting on this, Romans 12:2 comes to mind. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Pay attention to the voices you listen to. When the world lifts up, what the world lifts up and what it means to be a follower of Christ are much different. Today is Epiphany. It is a day that we remember that the Magi came, the Gentile wise men seeking the birth of the King of the Jews. They were not seeking to honor Solomon, but seeking to honor Jesus, the one who came for all people. And may you leave today not honoring Solomon with all his riches, but honoring Jesus and all his love. And may you leave today not seeking to be blessed, but grounded in Christ, who sends you to be a blessing to others. Amen.